news. The Taliban say they have suspended mediation with the U.S. to exchange Sergeant Bo Bergdahl for five senior Taliban prisoners held at Guantanamo Bay, halting what had been considered the best chance yet of securing the 27-year-old soldier's freedom since he was captured in 2009. The checkered flag drops later this afternoon at Daytona to start the 500, and with it, the start of NASCAR's 2014 season. Steve Richards with more.
Brookings Institution.
The Super Bowl of stock car racing takes the green flag with pole sitter rookie Austin Dillon carrying the late Dale Earnhardt's number three. The three hasn't been seen on the Cup circuit since Earnhardt lost his life here in 2001. Defending 500 champ Jimmy Johnson, along with four others, will start from the back of the pack and backup cars following a multi-car crash during Thursday's qualifying race. Danica Patrick and her car owner Tony Stewart will also roll to the back due to engine changes. Steve Richards, Daytona Beach.
I'm Tim McGuire, AP Radio News.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. I don't mind the insult, as long as the bill is under $20. So, we have a great show. I'm going to start it off with my best French, Laissez les bon temps rouler, because it's...
What?
Mon
what
Dieu,
are you talking
mon ami.
About?
Come on, you know, Fat Tuesday's coming
on
March 4th. We got a big Mardi Gras segment, a couple of big Mardi Gras segments. And also, you know, yesterday was a tease because obviously the Arctic winter is coming back.
The polar vortex.
But if you were walking around in 60-degree weather yesterday and you were thinking about putting your home on the market, we've got some tips for how to help you make it look ship shape. Because
say that five times fast.
My father works in a ship factory. John Giddings is with us. He's host of HGTV's Curb Appeal. He's in town for this weekend's Capital Home and Garden Show out at the Dulles Expo Center. But we stole him away for some fast tips on adding sex appeal to your curb appeal.
Okay. And also bringing us some of the Mardi Gras feel, we have the captain of the parade. We have our good friend, David Guas.
Is he our friend, really?
He's my friend. Okay. I don't know if he likes you.
Well, he's going on the Today Show. I guess he's my friend.
Okay. Chef, owner of Arlington's Bayou Bakery. He has brought in some fabulous beads and everything that's going to get
and
us in the Mardi Gras feel. And he's got a kick-ass party coming up.
Is that one of the seven words?
Can I say that?
Can we say kick-ass? Kick-ass, kick-ass. Okay.
Okay, there sure. We go. We got a huge party
we're
coming
off
up.
The air now.
And it's going to be fun.
Goodbye, Nikki.
All right. And to really get us in the mood for Mardi Gras, we got Scott Kleiman. He's going to be shaking up some cocktails that they'll be pouring at Acadiana. They got their own Mardi Gras festival happening.
But wait, says more.
One more.
The DC Brow guys are in. That's the city's first package. I haven't even had a beer yet.
I know.
First packaging brewery to open up since 1956. Mm-hmm. I'd like to meet the guy that did that. And what they're brewing is really, it's becoming a DC tradition. Is that fair to say, guys?
Yes.
All right. So DC Brow founders Brandon Scull and Jeff Hancock are in, and we're going to be tasting some delicious brewskis. But we're going to start off with a more elevated and genteel approach with Scott Kleiman and cocktail rocket fuel, I guess, for Mardi Gras. You guys at Acadiana, I mean, Acadiana was opened, what, about 8-9 years ago?
You have to come up to the mic.
Oh, okay. Yes.
He was talking, but nobody could hear him.
Right.
And
you still have to come up to the mic.
I mean, the cocktail
program has
always been a big deal there and has gotten acclaim across the city. But you've got some special stuff, events and activities for Mardi Gras along with your cocktails. Why don't you tell us what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, cocktails have always been a focus at Acadiana, and on course Fat Tuesday on March 4th, we're going to do an all-inclusive Mardi Gras party in our Lake and Bayou rooms from 6 to 10. And it's going to be basically all you can eat and all you can drink. And one of our featured cocktails, of course, is going to be our Category 5, which is our version of the Hurricane, which was, of course, made famous by Pat O'Brien's and named after the shape of the glass because the glass was kind of fluted out and it looked like it was being windblown, similar like the one that we have here and that we're going to be featuring.
That will be tasty.
So it had to do with the glass and not the what was in the cocktail?
Yes.
Not because it made you feel like you were hit by a hurricane.
Well, yeah,
one.
I'm sure that had some. It does pack quite a punch.
Right.
So.
Tell us about your hurricane. What's in it?
So, you know, our hurricane is a mixture of 6 different juices.
Mm-hmm.
We basically, when we were down in New Orleans several times doing research for Acadiana, we took, you know, Pat O'Brien's mix and tasted several different ones. Of course, theirs comes in kind of a flavored bag, and we wanted to do something unique using only fresh juices. So we basically just did, it was just a lot of work, a lot of tasting, a lot of acid reflux. Really? I mean, all the juice that we're taking.
TMI over
I can't
here.
Wait to taste this.
Right.
Well, we finally got it down. It's just a mix of, it's a top secret mix.
Okay. You don't have to give us proportions, but basically what's in it?
Basically, lemon, lime juice, orange juice, house-made grenadine, and watermelon juice was really the key that kind of cut through some of that acidity.
And then what kind of liquor is in it?
Yeah, that all sounds pretty tame. So.
White and dark rum.
All right.
There you go.
Accidenti.
All right. Okay, well, you start pouring that. We're going to move on to our next guest.
All right. So John Giddings is known to everybody as the host of HGTV's Curb Appeal. And we're going to talk about how to get your home ship shape for spring selling. But first, you've got a pretty interesting background, man. And I'll let you talk about it. But I want to say anybody that went to Yale and was in an a cappella group, became an architect, and then ended up on TV has got my admiration. How did that happen?
You know I went to Harvard too, right?
No, did you not.
Did you just leave that out on purpose?
Did you really go to Harvard?
Yeah. I did graduate school there.
Why is it that everybody who goes to Harvard has to tell you that they went to Harvard?
I mean,
we have a neighbor that every time he went to Harvard Law, he's a Harvard Law.
They
Harvard
don't
law.
Give us the diploma until we agree to do that.
You have to
every
slip it in.
How can you tell that a Harvard guy went to Harvard within
These
the first
Harvard
few minutes?
Harvard guys are impossible. All right, so you went to Harvard, too, for undergrad or
grad school? I got my architecture degree there and then promptly left it all behind and started the world of, like, you know, flowers and pillows on TV.
Right. Well, but you got the basis for it.
Yes.
So how did you go from architecture to Curb Appeal? I mean, how did that all happen?
Well, I was modeling for Armani.
Oh, God damn it. I mean, really.
Okay, you can't cover your mouth while
all
you're
right.
saying it into
all
microphone.
Wait. Yale, Harvard...
Armani.
You're an architect, I know, for 2 years, and then you started modeling for Armani. Get out of my studio right now.
And don't come back until you bring some Armani goods with you.
No, until you get fat. So how does that happen? You're modeling for Armani, you rat ball, and then...
Oh, you know, actually, one thing led to another. In Boston, there's like 4 production studios, and many of them do fashion work as well as TV work, because it's a small market. And somebody said, hey, we'll try you on a TV show. And I did ABC Family. I was designing bedrooms for kids. This isn't sort of high pride work right here. I'm telling you. Like,
yes.
That's why he keeps dropping Harvard and Yale and Armani.
And kids' bedrooms. Right.
But so let's talk about the structure of Curb Appeal.
Yeah. So for Curb Appeal, it's a show that's existed for a long time, way before me. They really built up that brand. And so when they asked me to be a part of it, it was a great opportunity for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about HGTV for me has been that they really let me take the show in the direction that I wanted to, which was a bit more architectural. I don't know if you've seen the show lately, but we do a lot of architecture work. And I think that's
we're hoping you'll bring it to Kensington, Maryland soon.
I'm sure everybody tells you that. Bring it to my house.
You're my best friend.
So what is it about the – in what way are you bringing the architecture compared to how it used to be?
I think the first step to creating Curb Appeal is looking at the house and identifying some of the characteristics that you're proud of that really identify the house as being unique. And then once you embrace those things – that's the way of creating the best. Oh, wow. These drinks look amazing.
Yeah, sure. Right.
That's the way of creating Curb Appeal. It's not so much about which flowers you pick or any specific color. People always ask me, what color should I paint my door? It's nothing specific. But looking at the architecture and embracing the style of your home is the first step for me.
So accepting what you own.
Absolutely.
And then going with that.
And not
that.
Trying to change it in something. In fact, speaking of Mardi Gras, the one episode of Curb Appeal that I saw before was one where somebody had been to New Orleans and said, oh my God, I love the French Quarter. Can you please turn my ranch home in the middle of Wisconsin into something that would look appropriate there? And this poor designer was stuck, you know, slapping wrought iron balconies on this poor little house.
Right.
It's not the right approach.
That makes sense. What about some trends that are happening? Like, as you go to these different houses and people want to stay current, how do you put the right, especially if we're talking about architecture, which, you know, does cost some money. I mean, how do you take sort of current trends and not just be trendy, but something that'll last a while?
That's a good question. I wish I could answer, but I just took one sip of this thing.
Okay, and that's it. That's the end of that.
Off
and he's
my
out.
Tree.
Okay, and that's Foodie and the Beast for today, everybody.
So trends, it's very interesting. In fact, Curb Appeal is not very trend-based.
Okay.
There's a couple landscaping trends, like xeriscaping is becoming really big these days.
I don't know what that is.
Dry landscapes, basically, that require very little water. Especially in California these days, we have a huge drought
problem.
Well,
there's no water in California.
Right,
so
exactly.
Zero.
In fact, I hear food prices are going to go up next year simply because we just don't have enough irrigation in the Central Valley in California.
Amazing.
Which grows all the food for America. It's kind of a bad time. So anyway, xeriscaping is big. But
that's another show.
Yeah,
that's our disaster show.
Yeah. When it comes to facades, I think the fabric of the neighborhood is the primary component for deciding, you know, which direction to go. So you're looking at what colors are featured in the neighborhood. Often it's going to be very neutrals on the body of the house. In fact, I would say in terms of color trends, the only saturated color that's allowed on a facade is on the door, sometimes the shutters.
But so here's a question, because one of the things the show does will be to go to neighboring houses after you've spruced up somebody's and, you know, add some curb appeal there, too.
Yeah.
And the question is, do the owners go,
what
you talking about,
right.
Willis?
Like, you know? What's wrong with my house? Well, I'm happy with my house.
Take your sprucing and, you know, I mean, do you ever have that kind of an issue where people go, what are you talking about, man?
It has happened where I've seen a house that desperately needs my help, and I've walked up to it, knocked on the door, and offered my services, and the homeowners have said, go away. We don't want to have anything to do
kidding?
With you. Yes, absolutely. People are very proud
of what they're
Are you
offering them for
about.
Free, or you're offering them for...
To be on the show.
Oh
yeah.
Well,
but,
offer that to me, dude. Yeah.
But people are really proud of what they've done. You know, like I'll walk up to a house that's been painted bright, bright pink and say, hey, you'd be great on our show. And they say, no, we like our color pink.
Wow.
So there we go. The neighbors, by the way, they've been picked weeks ahead of time. I hate to give away TV secrets here,
no
but
TV secrets.
Have you noticed that when I go and knock on the doors, they're already mic'd?
Yeah. Or there's somebody with a camera behind them.
Yeah. Right. The door opens and suddenly I'm there.
Right.
Yeah, no, we've picked them weeks ahead of time and we've told them exactly what we're going to do, which, by the way, we force them. We're not going to, you know, actually let them make any decisions. They've already failed once.
Be blunt.
Right.
Yeah, always.
But every now and then I assume you must, you get somebody who maybe seems like they'll be good for TV, but they're difficult or, you know, they don't love what you do or, you know, they're just, they're a little more wedded to their concept than maybe they thought they were.
You know, Nikki, the first thing we do is push a camera in their face and tell them to smile.
Right.
It's so important for television that we find happy, smiley, shiny people.
Right.
That's literally the first step. Your house can actually look good, and you might still make it on Curb Appeal as long as you can smile big.
See?
Okay.
All right.
No cries, no tears.
We got a couple of minutes before we have to go to a break. There are a couple of tips that you give about how to do a quick fix to add some sex appeal to Curb Appeal.
And
what
I'm
are
taking
they?
Notes, so let's hear it.
So here's the thing. If you want to create immediate curb appeal, just focus on the entrance process. So how you start entering the home and how you end up at the front door. That typically involves improving your mailbox situation, a.k.a. if you have those sticker house numbers on your mailbox, send me your address. I'm coming over this afternoon. We're going to rip them off together and have a burning party.
Send the man our address.
Okay.
Great house numbers are a very important first step, as is a great mailbox. It's typically the first thing people see. I always say create a path to the front door. If people have to walk up your driveway to get to your house, it's not a great way of entering a house, and it destroys curb appeal.
Okay.
Create a path to the front door, flagstone, crushed granite, concrete, whatever you want, but a path is very important.
Okay.
Once you arrive at the front door, lighting is important.
I was just going to ask about lighting.
So crucial. And here's an additional little folding of a trick. Try to make the metal finishes match. So if you've got brass door hardware, get a brass light, get brass house numbers, etc. It's kind of like jewelry on a face. The word facade does mean face, after all.
Right.
I always thought it was facade, but that's me.
But that's because
that's
you didn't go to Harvard.
Oh, did you go to Harvard? Good Lord. We got 1 minute.
Okay, 1 minute. All right. And what about mulch? There's so many different mulches out there. Wait. I think mulch can be difficult for people because, like, lately, well, in this area, last season was this really, I thought, unattractive red mulch that a lot of people were using?
You know, I've heard both sides of the argument for and against mulch. I'm for it. I think it gives great graphic edges to planting beds, mm-hmm. and it'll give a landscape that's looking a little tired, fresh life in a very short amount of time that you can do yourself.
See, I'm against it because Nikki says we have to mulch. We have to mulch, and that means go get some mulch and put it out there.
Make it happen.
Those bags are heavy.
Yeah, they are heavy. It's got nothing to do with it. All right, we got to take a break.
Next time I marry younger. Okay, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
There'll be no next.
William is all too familiar with the dangers of being homeless in D.C. during the winter.
You'd be out there in the cold, you know, snowing, it would rain. You got to cover up, you'll freeze to death.
The threat of hypothermia and death is real for D.C.'s homeless. Your gift of just $10 right now will provide a winter rescue kit at Central Union Mission. That's warm clothes, blankets, and a hot meal. Give today at missiondc.org. That's missiondc.org.
Imagine someday is today on Saturday, March 22nd, 2014, at the annual Leukemia Ball presented by Pharma, featuring a fabulous silent auction and a chance to win one of two Mercedes-Benz automobiles. The Leukemia Ball raises funds for life-saving cancer research and patient programs provided by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. With music by Huey Lewis and the News and a comedic performance by Ryan Hamilton, guests will enjoy a night to remember. For sponsorship information or to purchase a raffle ticket, visit leukemiaball.org.
Are you in the Metro DC area looking for something free to do with a family? Visit usarmyband.com to see what the United States Army Band has on tap. With weekly concerts, chamber music recitals, and educational workshops that are sure to entertain and inspire any music lover. And all performances are free. Get out, enjoy the music, and rest assured you'll leave feeling good about the flag. Visit usarmyband.com. That's usarmyband.com. You can also follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/USArmyBand.
The West Point Society of Washington, D.C., supported by alumni, sponsors, and individuals, is preparing their 7th Annual Leadership and Ethics Conference for D.C. Metro Area 11th graders, March 20th at the George Mason University Arlington campus. Students will learn about this year's theme of living honorably and the consequences of their actions from members of America's current greatest generation, including ROTC and West Point cadets, as well as recent graduates serving the nation. For more information, search West Point Ethics and Leadership on Facebook.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're toking. We're not toking at all, but pretty soon will be, once it's legal. But we're talking to John Gidding, who's the host of HGTV's Curb Appeal. We won't even be able to find the curb. You're at the Capitol Home and Garden Show out at the Dulles Expo Center. Yep. When people come out there to meet you, will they be able to, like, chit-chat? Trip and grin and chit-chat and all that?
Absolutely. I've got a presentation at 1 o'clock today that should be a lot of fun, but I open the floor up to questions immediately, and then we hang out afterwards, take photos.
What's your presentation about? Like, what do you do there?
Curb appeal.
Right.
So no, I'm just joking.
Read my lips.
We go through various projects that I think are exemplify approaches to anyone's home. So mm-hmm. really, you can see what I do and try to sort of put the same tenants onto your own home to create curb.
Do you advise people to bring in help, or do you think is it more DIY?
There's a lot that is DIY, and there's a lot that you need help for. So okay. I do try to identify various things that I've worked with people to create versus mm-hmm. things you can do on your own over a weekend for under $100.
So yeah, the things that I can do by myself for under $100.
It's amazing how much you can do. And then I do a whole chapter on house numbers because I've been accused of being a little aggressive with my house numbers.
Why?
And I embrace that just because house numbers are such a great way to show the character of your home, your own personality. It's the first thing people see. How often do you get a chance to make a first impression? So this is an important and very inexpensive way of starting the curb appeal process.
Very cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Tell everybody where they can find you on TV, today, online, everywhere.
Today, I'm at the Dulles Expo Center at 1 o'clock speaking at the Capitol Home and Garden Show. Mm-hmm. On TV, you can find me at random times. They don't tell me when, but the show is called Curb Appeal.
All right.
And I'll be shooting The Rachel Ray Show tomorrow, and I don't know if I'm allowed to mention that.
Yes, another name drops.
Oh, no. And that's always a lot of fun.
Excellent. And if you just happen to be strolling through Habit Yard, you might see John there. Or the Yale a cappella group is having their
75th year anniversary of the SOBs, the Society of World
Peace and
Bacchus.
You'll be able to go up there and see him singing. He'll be making Pitch Perfect 2 with John Gidding.
It was awesome.
Great having you on.
Thank you so much.
All right. So okay. Now we're going to drink some more. Back to Scott Klein.
Scott, this drink was really good.
Oh, thank you.
Having had the original hurricane. I mean, sometimes those drinks can be so juicy, do you know what I mean? And so strong, but like they're so sugary. This is not really sugary at all. It's really clean.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, the key is just to find the right blend of fresh juice, you know, to kind of mimic what they're doing there. Because Pat O'Brien's is also really good, but what you get there is the prepackaged,
right? Like mix.
Yeah, like powdered mix, which is consistent and also good. We just wanted to create something using the freshest ingredients.
I want to talk a different drink. The Sazerac is probably the most famous of all the traditional drinks out of New Orleans. What's the history on that?
Well, the story behind that is that it was created by Antoine Peychaud, who is the founder of Peychaud's Bitters, which we have here, which is featured in it. It's also rumored to be the first invented or original cocktail. You know, he used a measuring spoon and used a French brandy when he first invented it.
Mm-hmm.
And the measuring tool that he used was not similar like a dram or a jigger, but it was called a coquetet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And supposedly that's where that turned into cocktail.
Oh, interesting.
But there's several different versions.
You know, it could have gone both ways. It could have become cocktail.
It certainly could have.
Became cocktail.
And then it kind of transformed and had its own little history, and now it uses American rye whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And we use Antoine Peychaud's bitters. We also use our own house orange bitters and rye bitters.
Okay.
And then it's just a blend with a sugar cube, which we've pre-done here. And then
can we talk you into whipping a couple up for us?
I think I can handle it.
You're the man.
I think you brought this stuff. All right.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, let's talk beer. All right, so at the top of the show, we mentioned that DC Brau is the first packaging brewery to open in the city since 1956. And DC Brau founders Brandon Scull and Jeff Hancock are here. And I guess the first question for both of you is, what motivated that? What were you guys doing? And you said, let's open up a brewery.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we've both been in the industry for a while. I've been working on the beverage sales and marketing side in DC. And Jeff had been on the brewing side, and we had noticed that there just hadn't been any local DC packaged brewing institution for the city at large. I mean, we had, Old Dominion out of Virginia, which was gone at this point, no longer brewing out there. There wasn't really much going on for the city, and we just saw a big gap. And we saw
why did they fail? I mean, let's talk about why.
Yeah, I mean, why? I mean,
were
why?
They making crappy beer?
I don't know if it was that they failed. I mean, in the case of Old Dominion, they sold. And they moved production away, but I think, to Delaware.
I'm sort of curious. I mean, it sort of went from this absolute nothing, no local brews.
Right.
And I mean, the craft brew scene was probably just kicking off like 10 or 15 years ago,
yep.
You know, nationally. So was it just sort of like, oh, look at what somebody's doing out in Colorado, or look at what they're doing in San Francisco, or look what they're doing someplace else. Why don't we have a scene here in D.C.?
I think maybe, with a lot, in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of focus on locally produced products and people, sourcing groceries, things they consume on a regular basis locally. So I think it kind of brought acute focus and kind of exposed a hole in the market. Because every major metropolitan city, I mean, has at least a couple breweries. D.C. has brew pubs where you can go and buy the beer on premise, but nothing in package that you could buy out at a store.
And was that a legal issue? Like, were there laws against it?
It really wasn't. I mean, we assumed at first maybe it was.
It was just a hole in the model.
Yeah, right. Once we started to do the research, we found out, hey, not only is it not a legal issue, but there's actually already a brewery manufacturing license on the books. That nobody's applied for in 60 years.
Well, let me ask you a question. Gary Heyrich tried to revive the brand and the brew and failed miserably, spectacularly.
When
why?
Was that?
What happened?
Year was that?
That was like 1992 or 3.
I don't know if it was a miserable failure so much as it was just a mismatch, a misaligning of the time and the brand. And at the time, he was actually having it made elsewhere. It wasn't being made here.
No.
So it was being made in, I think, upstate New York. And that was just so costly to do. I mean, you're basically having somebody make and package the beer. Then you're buying it and you're really reselling it for pennies on the dollar. It's very hard to make that model work. So with Jeff and I, the model was always we didn't want a contract. We wanted to come in and produce it here. And we're very proud of the fact that the beer is produced, canned, packaged, distributed right out of our facility. So we basically handle everything right here in town. Nothing is outsourced.
And how did you go about not just because now you have a whole variety of beers that you do, but how did you start that process?
Basically, I met Brandon out at a, you know, essentially a party. We got to talking.
That's
been brewing.
Shocking. I find it amazing that it started
party.
Over a beer.
I was DJing this party.
Party on, dude.
Yes.
It was like 3 o'clock
guys.
In the morning.
Okay. But yeah, so we, you know, kind of got to some drunken bonding buddy time, and he wanted to...
That's how I met Nikki.
...open a brewery. I know how to brew. I thought I would never, you know anyone that would be able to do that side of the business as far as marketing and distribution. So we had kind of this very complimentary match. I, at the time, was brewing up at Flying Dog in Frederick, Maryland.
Okay.
And I had some stuff I did at home, and I had some stuff from them that was brewed commercially. And, you know, we kind of sized one another up, I guess, as best we could. This was about 2 weeks in, you know, from kind of formally meeting one another, and then we just kind of took the leap together.
Yeah, it was a good match. I mean, I'd had this entrepreneurial spark many years ago. Actually, when I was working with these guys over here at Passion Foods, and I was kind of in Gus's ear at the time about, you know, how he went about, you know, putting this all together, his first restaurant down in Florida, all this sort of stuff. And I had sort of started writing business plans almost back then for different restaurants. And then as I fell more and more in love with craft beer, I was selling wine at the time. And as I fell more and more in love with craft beer, and wine became more and more my job and less my passion, and my passion became beer, it just seemed like, hey, I had this epiphany one day, like a brewery, a DC brewery, that's what the city needs.
Well, but when we talk about craft beer, what does that actually mean at this point? I mean, given the change in the beer landscape, especially in the last 10 years, what does that mean?
In a technical way or in a soul way? Because,
I'll take both. Give me both. Like, but you understand my question,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like saying organic, or I just feel like it's become a term that people are using. What does it really mean?
I would think, it basically means you're not cutting corners with the ingredients you're putting in your product. You know, a lot of the bigger breweries, the big three, use corn and rice as adjuncts to make it lighter in body, more cost effective. Because at the end of the day, with beer, you're looking for a cheap fermentable sugar to create that alcohol. So, you know, craft beers are typically all malt, you know, domestically sourced hops, you know, trying to
be... But
it's
not about production size.
That's on the technical side it is. So on the technical side, there's certain limits that once you go past them, you're no longer a microbrewery. A few years ago, those limits were raised. So now we can make even more beer and still be considered a microbrewery. But where we're at, I mean, you know, this year, our goal at the beginning of the year was to produce 16,000 barrels.
Okay.
I don't know if we'll actually get there, but to put that in perspective, I mean, you know, Dogfish made like way over 600,000 barrels last year.
And for the listeners, a barrel equals 31 gallons. It's a unit of measurement for
roughly two kegs. So. Yeah.
All right. But so is microbrewery important to you? Do you need that title? Like as you grow, business plan wise.
Well, it connotes, you know, care and tending and, you know.
Yeah, I think it connotes love. And that's like the soulful side of the explanation.
Okay.
Like, you know, there's love going into the product. I mean, we're creating something. And when you put love into the creation of it, it's going to have that craft feel. It's going to have that craft allure. Not that Budweiser and Coors don't love the beer that they make,
but
you know, every one of our beers we're really particular about, we really care about, and we really want them to represent
well,
us.
Well, can we talk
way.
About the styles of beer that you brought? Like, you brought in a bunch today. What are the styles of beer that you guys are doing at this moment?
I mean, we do everything from session beers to big double IPAs to big roasty dark porters. I bought a lot of beers, but I mean, if we were
he
to
didn't
taste,
bring that much
like...
beer, for those of you listening. He brought some beer.
Yeah, he's putting on airs because... Did you go to Harvard, by the way?
No, but Yale, yes.
I visited
and
the campus.
And I was in the acapella group. Nobody's fact-checking this, right?
Acapulco group.
So, should we pour one?
Yeah, let's pour one. Let's see what you got. So,
there you go.
So what are we trying?
So this is our porter. This is actually a 97-point beer on rate beer.
What does that mean?
Down. Well, just like wine, you've got like a rating scale for beers. I try not to rely on it too much, but it's a good point of reference for folks. But this is sort of like, this is one of our, we used to have like pretty much three core beers.
Just chocolate in there?
Now we pretty much have, actually, Jeff, you want to talk about the recipe?
Chocolate porter. It's good. Basically, I modeled it after two of my favorite beers. One is the Edmund Fitzgerald by Great Lakes. It's a great example of the style. Another one, ironically enough, was used to be brewed by Wild Goose, which is now located where the Flying Dog Brewery is in Frederick. It's an English style of beer. It uses a lot of darker malts, which gives it the darker, you know, color and appearance. That's basically a chocolate malt, a black malt, and a roasted barley malt. And what you get is almost like a cocoa powder, almost with kind of a nice coffee taste. And there's no coffee used in the beer. It's typically not highly hopped. Ours is around 5.5%.
No, it smells delicious.
And it's a year-round
offering.
We're
going to have to go in a couple minutes.
No, right now.
Okay, wait, just quickly. Tell us about the Brewer's Ball.
Tell us fast.
Brewer's Ball. So Brewer's Ball is coming up on March 8th. It's to benefit the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. We're really excited to be involved. This is the third year we've been involved, I think, with the festival ourselves, and we're really happy to be involved every year.
Great.
Jeff will be out working with his wife and also one of our fantastic operations managers at the brewery, Mari Rodella.
Great.
So you can look for them there.
And you guys do, you can come to your brewery, right?
Yeah, please feel free to come to the brewery every Saturday. We're open to the public. We're only open one day a week. The rest of the time we need for production, but noon to four, free tours, free tastings.
Address.
3178-B, Bladensburg Road, Northeast Washington, D.C. When you get there, you won't see it. We're underneath the post office in the back. It's like a speakeasy.
Okay, nice. Cool. And where are you online?
www.dcbrow.com.
Okay. Guys. Thank you.
And if
so
you
much.
Can't spell brow, it's B-R-A-U, for God's sake.
Okay. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
What do you want to be when you're older?
When I'm older, I want to be a singer. That's my goal.
An organizer of like do-gooders.
I want to be a media mogul.
When I'm older, I want to be anything but the one that doesn't fit in, the one that people don't love.
Everyone deserves a dream.
But some of us are depressed.
Anxious.
Angry.
Scared.
Don't feel like ourselves.
If that's you, say something.
Talk to someone. People will listen. Add your voice at OKToTalk.org. OKToTalk.org.
Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Volunteers are the backbone of many nonprofits, and Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington is no exception. I'm Renthia Ross, a volunteer and board member of the Fairfax County Boys and Girls Clubs. For the care and support of Boys and Girls Clubs in Savannah, where I grew up, I realized my dreams to go to college, law school, and become a lawyer. I'm a corporate executive with GEICO Insurance Company. My success was made possible with the support of my family and caring adults from the Boys and Girls Clubs. I urge you to give to the Boys and Girls Clubs so kids can grow up great. Go to bgcgw.org to donate now.
Imagine someday is today. And envision a world without cancer on Saturday, March 22nd, 2014, at the annual Leukemia Ball presented by Pharma. One of D.C.'s largest and most anticipated non-political black tie galas, the Leukemia Ball brings together influential businessmen and women for the fight against blood cancer. Featuring a world-class silent auction with travel packages from American Airlines and a chance to win one of two Mercedes-Benz automobiles, the ball raises funds for life-saving cancer research and patient programs provided by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. With music by Grammy Award-winning band Huey Lewis and the News and a comedic performance by Ryan Hamilton, 2,000 guests will enjoy a night to remember. There are more than 19,000 people in the D.C. metro region living with leukemia, lymphoma, or myeloma. Help the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society cure blood cancer by attending this can't-miss event. For sponsorship information or to purchase a raffle ticket, visit leukemiaball.org.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. And although he did not go to Harvard, apparently, David Guas didn't need to go to Harvard because he was just picked as Arlington's best chef. He's the chef owner of Bayou Bakery. He's the author of Damn Good Sweet, Desserts to Satisfy Your Sweet Tooth, New
Which
Orleans Style.
Which is an amazing, amazing
Well,
cookbook.
It was named a James Beard Too finalist. Sweet. And it was put on Food & Wine's Best New Dessert Cookbooks. And you're going on the Today Show next, what, Tuesday?
We're
That's
like,
right.
We're
Couple
like,
days.
You know
bad.
How people from Broadway, you know, they do the shows here to make sure they can make it work, and then they go up to Broadway.
Hollywood.
Everybody comes to Foodie and the Beast, and then they go up to New York.
There you go. You are from New Orleans. Mardi Gras coming.
New Orleans.
And you're having a block party?
Yes, we are. It's called Bayou Gras. This will be our third year doing it.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
Now, it's grown a lot.
It has grown a lot. You know, we got Arlington County behind us, which is great. So they're really helping us sort of develop it and let it grow. We set up a large tent right in front of the restaurant, literally a block party. Mm-hmm. And
we're talking street closings and the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, the whole nine yards. And it's a lot of fun. You know, we've got Rappahannock out there shucking oysters, and we're doing our food.
Those
and
Rappahannock guys.
Yeah.
I
know.
Tell you,
they are everywhere,
they are
aren't they?
Everywhere.
It doesn't pay to come into this world as an oyster, that's for sure.
You know, we don't have DC Brow, but we'll have to rethink that. But we are exclusive with Abita and you know, serving a lot of their brews out there as well. March 4th from 5 to 10, the party starts as early as, you know, 7 a.m., if not earlier. You know, we'll have a couple news stations
have, like,
there in the morning.
And stuff like
oh,
that.
Yeah, the whole shebang.
Well, for people who've never had the pleasure of going to Mardi Gras in New Orleans, like, what are some of the things that you're bringing to your party that they can expect there?
I mean, just it's a celebration. Like growing up in New Orleans, you know, this is a very symbolic holiday, believe it or not. it's getting ready for Lent. So, you know, the next day is when you see all the hungover good Catholics with their ashes. And, you know, this is the last day, the blowout. It starts January 6th.
So is that why it's Fat Tuesday? Because you're
fattening
up and then you're done?
You nailed it. Did you go to Harvard?
No, and I'm Jewish. How would I know about Fat Tuesday?
So, it's a wonderful celebration, and it is the final day to sort of blow it out. And you know, we're going to have music, we're going to have spirits, we're going to have brew, and we're going to have great food. Mm-hmm. You know, we're kid friendly. 12 and under eat free at Bayou Gras this year. And you know, we have a lot of our regular guests that are families, and so they love to come early, 5 or 6 o'clock. The parade for Clarendon and Courthouse starts at 8, and it's just a block away. So we sort of created a sort of the kickoff party for that. So come in, get your belly full, bring the kids, drink, be merry, go to the parade, come back and
David
see us.
David Gwas, chef, restaurateur, and impresario.
Whatever,
so are you throwing
you just
bees
said,
and doing
that's
all that?
What I, that's right.
All right, I got to ask a question because unfortunately we've only got a couple of minutes here. King cake.
Yeah, baby.
What up with that? What is it?
What up with
Why
that?
Why is it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's, again, like Scott was talking about the cocktails, you know, there's always going to be a couple stories, but essentially this goes back to the wise men. You know, this was the 12th night, the epiphany, the January 6th was the kickoff. This was a cake or a bread that was sort of baked for, you know, to celebrate the birth of the big JC. So it's, you know, it goes back that far. New Orleans obviously has a huge history with the king cake, with all the influx of French and Spanish and different influences in New Orleans. But it used to be sort of a coin or a bean that was stuffed inside. Now we're down to a sort of
plastic baby.
And, you know, purple, green, and gold symbolizing justice, power, and faith.
Okay.
So your gold is your power, your faith is green, and purple is justice.
Is that a New Orleans thing, or is that a Christian thing?
That's a thing.
I'm just curious.
Well, you know, we actually took Mardi Gras from Mobile, Alabama.
Okay.
That's actually where Mardi Gras, the parades and whatnot started.
Is that true?
Yeah, and being a New Orleanian,
well,
I'm hesitant to admit that.
But did they take that from
Brazil?
Yeah, Brazil.
You know, I can't go there, but you know, they have their very famous celebration there as well. So we do it our way, New Orleans style. We bring that to Arlington.
All right, I'm going to jump in because we're going to go back to Scott Klein before we have to end the show early today.
Wait, but David, everybody where they can get tickets.
You can go online to our website, BayouBakeryVA.com, and purchase your Bayou Gras tickets along with King Cakes. Get your orders in now because we are slammed.
And you will be on the Today Show in the third hour doing King Cake.
Yeah? Hoda and Kathy will be doing King Cakes. You know,
Tuesday,
between 10:30 and 11. Come on.
I'll jump out of the King Cake.
I have to say, I think we have more booze here than they have there.
You know what? I think we definitely are going to give the ladies a run for their money today.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, Scott. Scott Klein, Acadiana, let's talk about the last drink that you're prepping over there.
Okay, the last drink that we're going to feature is our version of a Dark and Stormy. Mm-hmm. Ours is a Cajun Dark and Stormy. Traditionally, Dark and Stormy is just Gosling's Black Seal rum and ginger beer. We did a little twist on it. We used the Gosling's Black Seal rum.
Mm-hmm.
We used a little lime juice. And then we make our own ginger simple syrup that kind of gives it a little spiciness.
A little bit of a kick.
Yeah, it gives it that Cajun flair. Mm-hmm. And then instead of the ginger beer, we top that with the Fever Tree ginger ale.
These cocktails are...
Well, that must be much lighter. It's a much lighter drink, right?
Yeah, it is a little lighter. It's very refreshing. You know, it's kind of a great compliment.
Oh, it's really good.
Right, I bet.
This is great.
And is this traditional served for Mardi Gras? Or is this just something you guys wanted to bring to the table?
No, this is something, yeah. We've done, you know, a twist on just another, you know, variation. We also offer for our happy hour cocktails as well. But the Dark and Stormy traditionally came out of Bermuda. So.
Okay, that's what I thought. Now, so for people who are going to be coming to your big party, what can they expect food-wise?
Well, they can expect pretty much all you can eat and all you can drink, traditional New Orleans-style fare. And we're going to be doing shrimp and grits and different po'boys. We're going to be doing charbroiled oysters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, etouffee. So it's just going to be a full-on, basically, all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-drink party.
What time does it start?
6 to 10.
It's 6 to 10. And
great kickoff to, you know, the late
the whole
night
celebration, right?
To.
And then, do you guys have music there too?
Yes, we're gonna have a traditional
Zydeco
band
and the whole thing.
Who's coming in for your music? Do you know? Oh, I stumped him.
Yeah.
Who is it? We had a group in sure. studio just, a couple of years ago.
Let me help. I heard it was
the
Beatles.
Are they coming in for you?
It's not the Beatles.
Okay.
It's not the Beatles? Let's try to help you, Scott.
No, but we're having a traditional live New Orleans band.
And just to make sure for
yet to be determined.
The one person out there that has no idea where Acadiana is, let's make sure they know.
All right. Acadiana is located on 901 New York Avenue, Northwest, catty corner to the convention center.
Terrific. Good spot. All right, thanks. Well, unfortunately, everybody, we have a short show today because the powers that be have deemed that Navy basketball is more important than Foodie and the Beast. Can you believe it?
I cannot believe
so
it.
So I just wanted to put it.
Right, whatever.
They didn't go to Harvard, obviously. So anyways.
Okay, and for the record, that joke is now over.
Oh, no, I like it. I like it. I'm going to use that a lot. I'll be saying that tonight. As I roll over. So everything you heard on the show today, you can find on the list, areyouonit.com. Love is splendid, isn't it? Anyways, and listen to Nikki on WTOP today at 1250, 103.5 FM.
And on Thursday I'm going to be talking about all the Mardi Gras celebrations.
Well, what do you know about that?
There you go.
And what else? What did I want to say? And that's follow her on Twitter and on Facebook. She's all over the place, and that's how you find out what's going on in the food and wine scene around town.
Mm-hmm. Now, next week we are not going to be in studio because we're out of town, but we do have great things coming up. The following week, we have Terrera Wine. They are kicking off a whole new style of wine. They're going to be pouring it in studio.
So who will that be? Jordan Harris.
Jordan Harris will be in studio. And have you heard of El Rey? They are the new taqueria over. Somebody looks like they've been there. And they're pouring...
Beer and tacos.
Right. They are... but they're also pouring a lot of tequila, so they're going to be bringing that in studio. So we are going to be having a lot of fun in 2 weeks from now. So we want to thank all of our guests for joining us today. It was certainly a boozy show, but a lot of fun as well. Everybody, please have a terrific time. Get your Mardi Gras tickets wherever you're going to go, and also please have...
And laissez les bon temps rouler. I said it again.
Have a delicious week.
Yes, we take two things very seriously, your budget and our planet. It's why we've built one of the largest alternative fuel fleets in the industry. It's why we offer eco-responsible services like carbon-neutral shipping and carbon impact analysis. It's also why businesses trust UPS to provide customized solutions that cut costs and boost productivity. UPS is committed to helping you operate more efficiently and sustainably. Learn more at ups.com/gov.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFMHD2 Manassas, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics, Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com.
This is Navy Basketball on Federal News Radio, D.C.'s home to Navy Athletics. Navy Basketball is brought to you by Constellation Energy Nuclear Group, defining the energy solution for the future. By BB&T, sharing knowledge for a brighter direction, member FDIC. By General Dynamics, proud to support Navy Athletics. By Navy Mutual Aid Association, insuring military members since 1879. And by Toyota, now's the time to go places with Toyota. Visit buyatoyota.com for special offers.
Smitty, down the middle! Holy cow! Like the condor coming out of the clouds. Dunbar, finger roll to the cup, a la George Gervin. Lays it up and in.
Pick and roll with Smitty. Left side win. Rises for a three.
Thurgood wins. A rare shot, and he makes it for three.
Now with the call of today's broadcast, here's Pete Medhurst and Navy Basketball.
to the Heart Center on the campus of Holy Cross as the Maids get set for a Patriot League matchup today against the Crusaders, who have a chance right now to continue to play for the possibility of second place in the Patriot League. After American beat Army yesterday, the Crusaders now sitting at 10-5, one game of the loss column behind American. The Maids in that log jam for 7-10. Lehigh and Lafayette playing today. That game tips off at the same time that we do. Lafayette at 5-10. Loyola, a loser to Colgate and Hamilton yesterday. They've already dropped to 5-11, so the Mids with a victory can get in to a tie with Loyola at 5-11 in that the logjam for the 7, 8, and 9 spots. Colgate winning yesterday. They are now 4-12, but a game behind Loyola and Navy in the loss column. And that's why it's important for the Mids to win today. You want to keep those behind you in the standings, behind you. Two things you want to avoid. You want to avoid being the 10 seed if you can possibly do it, and you want to avoid the trip to Hamilton in that scenario as well if you can. So you want to make sure you win here today. For the Mids to do so, they're going to need the continued impressive play of late from Will Kelly in the middle. Big fella with a breakout performance on Wednesday night, 19 points and 10 rebounds in the loss at Lehigh. If he can continue to give the Mids that kind of play in the middle, Mids going to be in business here down the stretch and certainly have a chance to make life miserable for some teams in this Patriot League postseason, which starts a week from Monday. The Mids will finish at home, two games to finish out the schedule, as they will take on American on Wednesday and then Loyola next Saturday afternoon at Alumni Hall to conclude the season. Mids will acknowledge seniors James Lupos and Thurgood Wynn next Saturday at Alumni Hall. For Holy Cross, it was a team playing its best basketball of the year, winners of four in a row, and then hit the roadblock on Wednesday night against Lafayette College, as Lafayette, with Seth Henricks back in the lineup, they're a completely different team now that he is finding his stride. At one point, they were 0-9. Since then, Lafayette has gone 5-1, and Henricks making a huge difference with their best player back on the roster for Lafayette and contributing. They beat Holy Cross on Wednesday night here at the Heart Center by a count of 76-64. And, of course, with all these local players for Holy Cross, Milan Brown and his staff have recruited the Washington area very heavily. Six players on their roster overall from the D.C. area. And if you count Christopher Morgan from Gloucester, Virginia, which is essentially the northern neck, not too far south of D.C., they have really come into that area and found an awful lot of talent to bring back up here north to Holy Cross. And a lot of it contributes. Three of them in the starting lineup. Malcolm Miller, of course, guy that, as we mentioned, kind of a nondescript high school career, kind of lost in the shuffle of most of those private schools in the D.C. area. But Malcolm Miller has really emerged here for Holy Cross as a tremendous player on the perimeter. He's third in the league in blocks. He's playing defense as well, averaging 10.4 points, 5.2 rebounds a game, and nearly two blocks per contest for the Crusaders of Milan Brown, who he is 10-2 all-time versus the Mids, and DeChellis 0-5 so far in his career against Holy Cross. Mids, by the way, going to be without associate head coach Dan Earl today. Congratulations to him and his wife Sheila on the birth of their second child. Mids and the Crusaders of Holy Cross. When we come back on this Constellation Energy pregame show, we'll talk to the head coach of the Navy midshipman, Ed DeChellis, brought to you by the Navy Mutual Aid Association, insuring military members since 1879. We're back with more of the Constellation Energy pregame show after this network timeout, or make it a local timeout rather, local break, coming up on the Navy Sports Network.
At BB&T, sharing financial knowledge is our responsibility, our privilege, and our legacy. For more than 140 years, BB&T has been sharing the knowledge our clients need to move in a brighter financial direction. We also share a commitment to our community, supporting our schools, arts, and sports programs, helping businesses grow and families become homeowners. Because when you share knowledge, you share so much more. BB&T, sharing knowledge for a brighter direction.
Member FDIC, loans subject to credit approval, equal housing lender.
Navy football fans are the best fans around. So while you're cheering on your Navy team or celebrating a Navy victory with your friends, show everyone you're a good sport. Be responsible, be considerate of your fellow fans, and always designate a driver. It's part of every winning game plan.
a message from Navy football, and your friends at Anheuser-Busch, who remind you responsibility matters.
Toyota's number one for everyone sales event is kicking off early, and your Toyota dealer has great deals. Search buy at Toyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals. You'll find up to $1,750 cash back on new 2014 Camrys, $2,000 cash back on 2013 Prius liftbacks, plus 11 models with 0% APR available to qualified buyers. Take cash back or apply to down payment. APR terms vary by model. See dealer for details. Offers end March 3rd. Toyota, let's go places.
The Naval Academy Athletic Association boasts one of the broadest athletic programs in the nation, with midshipmen competing in 33 varsity sports. Navy strives to succeed in all we do, and much of our success is due to your support. As a private non-government agency, the Naval Academy Athletic Association relies on these funds to sponsor our varsity and junior varsity programs. Your membership is critical as we add the next generation of N-letter winners to join Super Bowl quarterback Roger Staubach, Olympic Dream Teamer David Robinson, and the first American in space, Alan Shepard. Join the team behind these great midshipmen student-athletes, the Naval Academy Athletic Association. Call 1-800-US-4-NAVY or log on to NavySports.com.
Midshipman getting set for battle in Worcester with the Crusaders of Holy Cross, joined now by head coach Ed DeChalis. If this league has shown us anything here in recent weeks, is as we thought, BU kind of settled in now at the top of this league. But otherwise, any given night, everybody else has been able to step up and get a victory, surprisingly, even at home against some squads. Your thoughts on the way things have shaken out here overall in the league, and really as we're heading toward what seems like, Coach, could be a very wide-open tournament here in the Patriot League tournament.
Well, you're exactly right, Pete. I mean, there's a lot of parity in the league. I thought that going into the season that there will be several teams that could win the whole thing, and I thought there will be a team. No one was going to go undefeated in the league, and the team would have a few losses, whoever won the regular season. It wouldn't shock me if there was a tie or so. It's going like I thought it would. You know, and now it's a fun time of year. We have this game here this afternoon, and then we've got two more, and then conference tournaments. So, you know, our kids are excited, and it's a great time for college basketball.
I know it was close, but no cigar against Lehigh. But over the last four games for your team, and perhaps this is a sign of exactly what we've been talking about throughout the year, signs of progress and building. You all have shot the basketball much better over the last four games. What has been the key to that?
Well, hopefully confidence, Pete. I think that's a very, very important aspect of this game. This is a crazy game, basketball. If you don't have confidence, you're not going to play well. If you don't play well, you can't get confidence. And I think we've tried to really work with the kids in terms of playing with more confidence, shooting the ball when they're open, not thinking so much, don't overthink plays, use your instincts, and hopefully your instincts will guide you through to making a proper play.
One of the keys on Wednesday night, you didn't have to hit everything from the perimeter. Will Kelly gave you a inside presence of 19 points, 10 rebounds. After looking at the film, just how good was his performance on Wednesday night?
Well, he was very good. I think he caught some tough balls that were passed to him. I thought our perimeter guys did a very nice job of finding him. We were able to exploit a couple things Lehigh was doing defensively and took advantage of that. And Will was a recipient of that and used a lot of side ball screen pick and rolls because our five-man was a kid that really wasn't just come out and guard the pick and roll. And Brandon Vetterini and Kendall and Earl did a good job of stretching out the defense and throwing back to him for some easy baskets.
Finally, what do you have to do to find a way to beat this tough Holy Cross team here today?
Well, Pete, you know, I think we got to do three things. Transition defense is very important for us. We can't give them easy baskets. We have to do a better job of blocking out and keeping them off the offensive glass than we did at our place. And then we got to defend them. We've got to play five guys versus the ball. We have several guys who can score, and that's going to be important for us to defend them. But as you mentioned in your earlier question, we're going to have to make some shots. We didn't shoot the ball very well at our place, missed free throws, missed layups. We're going to have to make the easy plays, and hopefully that carries over to a win here this afternoon.
All right, Coach, appreciate the time as always. Best of luck here against the Crusaders.
All right, thanks, Pete.
That's Navy head coach Ed DeChalis as the bid's getting set for the Crusaders of Holy Cross. We'll come back.